I'm Brendan Kelly, Director of the Illinois State Police. Brendan Kelly. I'm just going to walk through a summary of the facts, trying to give some, you know, finality to the information that we have for you here today that we can report at this point. Let me say I appreciate your patience in dealing with our folks and our PIOs. We try to get as much information to you as possible. It was obviously a very dynamic situation that was changing from minute to minute. There's still an ongoing investigation as we try to identify the remains of two remaining individuals, and that's what I'm going to focus on at the end of these remarks. But I appreciate your patience as we are now able to kind of give you a fuller picture of everything that occurred yesterday. So, as everyone knows now at this point, around 10:55, there were yesterday morning here, not far from where we're standing, reports of multiple vehicle crashes on I-55 around mile marker 76 through 78. So this area is a very flat roadway that is surrounded by dirt farm fields, and there's very little windbreaks in that area. And fields to the west of I-55 were depositing significant field dust across I-55, causing essentially zero visibility, complete blackout conditions. So as our troopers were arriving, they were learning that the incident would have numerous vehicles involved, and I'll get to the specific numbers, some of which were on fire, numerous injuries and fatalities. Our folks immediately dispatched troopers from Troop 8, which includes the Metro East area, which is just a bit to the south of here, and from Troop 6, which is the Springfield area, just to the north of here, where both of these areas of the Illinois State Police coverage overlap, along with a variety of units from our Special Operations Group, and they began to search for the injured, provide for care, and coordinate with IDOT and other responding agencies to stop and reroute traffic. So ISP dispatched in excess of 40 troopers, and in addition, and I'll go through the list as well, many of our other agencies from around the area, fire services, EMT, Illinois Department of Transportation, others responded to the scene. We also dispatched our investigative agents from the Division of Criminal Investigation. Now, that does not mean that there's a criminal investigation going on here. It just means that those people within the Illinois State Police, they have the expertise, they have the experience at doing what it takes sometimes to be able to identify remains and be able to identify and notify the next of kin with the information and the evidence that we had available to us. So, in addition, ISP traffic crash reconstruction units were deployed and our crime scene investigators. A command post was set up where emergency services responded jointly to work to be able to provide rescue services to those in need and to obviously try to prevent further crashes. And that's why the road was closed. Ultimately, what we are aware of, the Illinois State Police, is that there are at least 37 reported injuries. And the number we have as of right now, and we have no reason to believe that this number will change, there could be more information, but as of right now, we believe 6 fatalities, and the age of the victims range from 2 years old to 80 years old. We are also aware of 72 vehicles involved in the crash. Now, I put an asterisk by that in terms of 72. There were vehicles that were involved in the incident and involved in the event in the crash, may have had some damage, but may have been able to drive away and drive away safely. So there may be some vehicles, it could be a much higher number that we can't account for simply because they were able to leave the scene safely before first responders were there, or they just didn't need any assistance. They were otherwise fine and just wanted to be able to vacate the premises and get away from the fires and the other damage that was there. So I-55 closed approximately that time, and around 6 this morning, after a tremendous amount of work by our folks in the Illinois State Police and our partner agencies, the road was able to be opened up again this morning at around 6 a.m. So we are currently working with the Montgomery County Coroner's Office to positively identify fatality victims. So due to the severity of the crash and the fire, we are required to activate our crime scene services and traffic construction unit, and we are working with our special agents to help identify them and use the techniques that we have when we are investigating criminal investigations to be able to link the information we have to surviving family members. So at this point, we do have, of the 6 fatality, 1 confirmed, and we have 3 that are tentative. One name has been released by the coroner's office. You all should have that. The three other tentative identifications, we're obviously not releasing their names yet at this point, but we are believe we are communicating with family members, and we are using a variety of techniques and investigative capabilities to be able to confirm that these are in fact their family members that are the victims. Now, here's where we need your help, and this is where we need to use the power that you all have to be able to communicate to the wider world. We have two unidentified victims. We have two individuals who, as of yet, remain unidentified, and we're needing information from the public or potentially from family members or from witnesses or anybody who may know anything about the identities of these two individuals. We want to make sure their family, the people that are out there, that are their loved ones that are concerned about their whereabouts, that we're able to provide some closure and proper identification of who these two victims are. And I want to put out just some very general information, and this is frankly all the information we have at this point as we continue to investigate. One of the unknown victims that is yet to be identified, we believe the vehicle that individual's remains were found in is a blue Chrysler 300. The registration information, that type of identifying information is not yet been able to be ascertained because of the condition of the vehicle. In addition, we have a deceased occupant of a Hyundai. Again, the color, we're not quite sure yet, and the vehicle and the specifics of the vehicle are not yet identified. But please put out to the public that we have a phone number, 618-346-3653. I'll repeat that number, 618-346-3653. If anybody might have information that could help us shed some light on who these potential unidentified victims are, the occupant of a blue Chrysler 300 and the occupant of a Hyundai who may have been in this area at this time yesterday, please call that number, give us that information, and that will be helpful to us in trying to be able to identify who these individuals are. Last but not least, let me thank the tremendous response by the people that are behind me, the outstanding leadership that they showed yesterday morning and throughout the day and throughout the night in leading our response to this effort. This is what the Illinois State Police do. Also very grateful for our partners at the Illinois Department of Transportation, the local fire services, local ambulance services, local law enforcement, our partners here in this county and in this municipality. The effort was very professional, very timely, under a very unusual circumstance. Certainly, dust storms happen, but it is not something that happens every day here in this part of Illinois or in any part of Illinois. So this is a very series of unusual circumstances. I know meteorologists and the National Weather Service have certainly put out their observations and their conclusions about what led to these circumstances. And it's simply a terrible, terrible tragedy. It was a terrible day here in this part of the state and for the families that were affected by this. And we'll certainly continue to keep them at the center of our hearts as we our love goes out to them, but as we do the job that we need to do here to identify the remains of these last two individuals. That's the work that still remains undone here. We are going to do everything we can, as we do in these circumstances, to very deliberately, very professionally go through the process of the traffic crash reconstruction, analyzing this again at this point, this very early in the process. In no way are we saying that there's some indication that there's something criminal that's going on here, but we do have six individuals who have lost their lives, so we have to do everything we possibly can to make sure we ascertain as many facts as we can under the circumstances. So in the event there's anything to be learned from this, we'll certainly share that with the public. But at this point, this is just a terrible series of converging circumstances, very unusual, and a terrible loss of life. And we are all grieving for the people who died here yesterday. And with that, I will just conclude and see if there's any questions.
Are you able to say male, female?
I am not. I'm not able to say that yet.
Two adults?
Two adults, yes. Yeah, there were two separate cars. I don't believe there were children driving the car, so these were two adults.
Director Kelly, we have heard in the last 24 hours from some in the local farming community who are upset. Who say this was avoidable based on the farming techniques used. Is any part of your investigation looking at who may be responsible?
Well, certainly we're looking at the surrounding area to see what information we can ascertain that may link, you know, where the dust was coming from. We know, again, just listening to what the National Weather Service has had to say and meteorologists have had to say about these circumstances, is that there's any number of things that could have led to this. There's many different ways of tilling soil. There's no-till. There's lots of different types of agricultural activity. But some of these things may be related to a period of dryness, you know, where there's not as much rain as there usually has been. And we're going to try to connect as many dots as we can and see if there's anything we can learn from that. But we're not jumping to any conclusions at this point.
Are criminal charges possible?
We have a process to make that determination. And if and when there's something that warrants that, we'll certainly share that with the public. But in no way are we anywhere near that type of conclusion at this point.
Are you aware of any type of regulations that would limit the amount of tilling that a farmer can do during a particular time?
Well, I can say this. Again, there's as many different types of agricultural techniques that are used, in terms of plowing a field. It's a whole host of factors that go into how that process works. The timing, it does not benefit a farmer to lose a bunch of their topsoil. So they have no motivation or no reason that they would want to do something that would cause this in any way. So there's no logic to saying that someone did this on purpose and they were somehow skirting some sort of regulation. But again, we're going to look at everything. It is our job, and this is what the Illinois State Police do well, is to follow the facts wherever they take us, good, bad, or ugly. But we also don't want to jump to any conclusions beyond what the evidence shows.
Mr. Director, who helped?
No, if you could elaborate just a little bit more. We heard from locals who were saying something along the same lines, where because of the tools and techniques that they were using, perhaps what caused this, could this have been a real?
I'm not going to jump to any conclusions without knowing the facts. So that's the process we're going through now. We're doing an investigation, and if we have more information that points a certain direction, there'll be an appropriate time and a place to share that information.
Well, Mr. Director, who helped
you? Did any of them respond to the scene?
Yes, they did.
Did they speak to what they saw, what they drive up to? What was their initial reaction?
Sure. Let me answer all these questions, and then we'll come back around to them. Yes, sir.
Mr. Director, who helps the helpers? Today or someday in the future, some first responder is probably going to say, man, oh man, I need help. What's available?
So our officers deal with very intense and sometimes very tragic circumstance on a regular basis. This is the duty that they face every day. It's the mission that they've been called to do. And that's not just true for our troopers. It's also for all law enforcement, for medical first responders. And we certainly have a layer and a myriad of options in terms of, you know, what we call now wellness, you know, making sure that we are helping the helpers, making sure that we are taking care of the people that take care of everyone else. And we have a process for these type of major incidents. I will say we're pretty good at being able to talk through these incidents and refer people to appropriate services if they need it. We know in a very difficult situation like this, where there's fatalities, where there's some very extreme and very intense images and sensations that human beings are dealing with, that certainly can leave us scars on the psyche of the individuals that are dealing with this tragic event. And I think we have a pretty good process in place where we're very open about that. You know, this is not something, it's not, back in the day where you just push it down and bite your lip and carry on. That's not best for the people that are doing this work. The most important tool they have is not all the amazing tools that they have to be able to respond to these emergencies and technology. This is the most important tool they got, and we're very thoughtful about trying to make sure we're maintaining that tool. Yes, sir.
Mr. Kelly, I just wanted to ask, why did it take until a crash for everybody involved to close these roads when visibility was so low? Why did it take until somebody got into an accident for these roads to be shut down so that, you know, fatalities like this could have been avoided?
Well, I don't think we have any evidence at this point that there was any reason to have shut the road down. It is a pretty extreme thing to shut a road down. We do that during blizzards. We do that when we have hazmat or circumstances like this. And the parameters for shutting a road down are not always predictable, in a sense. Just the weather is not always predictable. So at this point, there's nothing to indicate that IDOT or ISP or anybody had any information that warranted shutting a road down. Now, we are certainly looking at the timeline for what the weather warnings were. Some of those warnings, in terms of the warning about there being a dust storm, came after some of the accidents that occurred yesterday. You've obviously seen that IDOT has updated some of their signs to put information out that people can be more aware of this, and we'll look at that. We'll certainly look at that. But at this stage, we don't have any reason to believe there were factors that indicated an interstate should have been shut down preemptively. There was nothing that just would have warranted that.
Has the National Weather Service given you any indication? It's windy today. It's almost the same conditions. Yeah.
Yeah, so they do have a warning out still right now for the wind conditions through today, I believe.
Have any drivers been cited? Could they be cited for speed or any other factors?
So our traffic crash reconstruction folks, that is what they will do. They will go through the process of trying to reconstruct what exactly happened here. They will look at things like black boxes that are in the car to be able to see what the speed was. They'll interview as many people as possible. But when we're talking about 100 objects all moving at potentially high speeds, and maybe under the speed limit, but maybe not necessarily safe for conditions, those are questions that we have to ask. Those are questions that we ask anytime there's an accident of this nature, or even a smaller accident, to determine what the events were that led to this. So we'll see. But we're very much early in this process. We have a lot of evidence to go through. We have a lot of people to interview. We have a lot of science that has to be done to be able to see what we can determine from this. Yes, ma'am.
Just to be clear, the two drivers that you're trying to identify, were they burned beyond recognition?
I will say we are not able to identify them. And I think the specifics of that are something that I think would be more appropriate to discuss during a coroner's inquest or further investigation later. And I'm also trying to be sensitive to the family members that are out there. This is not the place to explain how they may have lost their loved one.
Director.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, there's a lot of traffic crashes can be avoided. This, what happened yesterday with the dust storm seemed to happen very suddenly, very fast. A lot of vehicles on the road. How do motorists avoid this?
So look, anytime there's an accident, speed is a factor. And again, I'm not saying, and I'm not jumping to any conclusion, that anybody was driving in excess of the speed limit. But in Illinois and in every state, you have to drive at a pace that is safe for conditions. And if you get a condition where it's blackout, you can't see anything, the safest speed is like no speed, basically. And what we would tell people, if they find themselves suddenly in this condition, whether it's dust or whether it's weather or it's rain or it's a tornado, whatever the case may be, slow down. That is always the best advice. Slow down. If you can safely get off the interstate, do so. Whatever you do, do not just stop right in the middle of the interstate. Okay? Don't just pump the brakes and come to a halt. Try to get off the roadway in any way that you can safely. But that's what we're looking at in terms of determining what happened here. Speed and the movement of objects and how objects strike one another, that's always going to be a factor in determining what happened. So, what do you want to know?
We heard there were two semis that were on fire.
Yeah. So, we'll know more as we go through this in terms of how many vehicles may have been on fire and what the source of the explosions were, whether it was just from the semis or whether it was other vehicles. Obviously, we have electric cars now that are pretty common on the road. Batteries can impact the type of fire that you see and the response that's necessary to be able to respond to that fire. But as you've heard, there have been multiple witnesses who have made statements with regards to the fires they've seen and multiple explosions.
Thank you.
At this point, nothing that we have concern other than just the usual kind of stuff that you see. Again, batteries typically have chemicals associated with them. The fuel, that is very common, that's spilled as a result of the damage to the fuel tanks. Nothing special, nothing of great concern in the trucks that were involved in this particular accident. But our folks are well-trained. Everybody takes recurring training to be able to respond to hazardous material. And at this point, there's nothing of special concern other than the usual that you see.
Yes, ma'am.
So the road is drivable, but again, we would warn motorists to be very aware of the weather, aware of driving conditions. That is not just today, and that is not just yesterday, and that is not just on this part of the road. Any time you're on the highways or byways of this state or in any state, you need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to drive in a way that is safe for the conditions. And if the conditions change, you need to change the way that you're driving.
We saw some video. It seemed like the interstate still had a little bit of, whether that was soot or char or something on that. Is that's safe to drive through? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's no the roads would not be opened if we hadn't verified the ability to safely drive through them.
You can say your name and spell it.
My name's Chris Owen, CHRISOWEN. I'm with the Division of Patrol with responsibilities for our patrol troops throughout Illinois.
What's your rank, please?
I'm a lieutenant colonel, sir.
Oh, okay.
So our troopers received the call of the massive crash and immediately engaged in response, as the director indicated, from our Troop 8 in the Metro East area, as well as in the Springfield area, which is our Troop 6, and our Strategic Operations Command dispatched a handful of troopers to the area as well. Our goal upon arrival is immediately life safety, getting to the injured, trying to get them to emergency medical care, and shutting down the roadway so there's to prevent additional crashes. So what you found was very brave state troopers and other law enforcement personnel and emergency personnel arriving on a scene where they could not see and taking immediate action to safeguard further injuries and save people working together.
What was the first thing that you saw?
The first thing that would have been seen was the dust storm and not being able to see what's on the other side of it and having no knowledge of exactly the extent of the incident that we were coming into.
Have you personally ever experienced a scene like
that? Yes.
Were there extrications, and can you describe how that?
The extrication process would have involved some of our troopers helping people out of their vehicles, as well as our other emergency personnel, the fire departments, and the brave men and women responding from our EMS providers going into the scene to help victims off the roadway to safe locations. We dispatched vans from our Division of Training Academy, and there were school buses that showed up on frontage roads so we could safely get these people off the roadway and to reunification sites.
This was yesterday. Obviously this is kind of it's not like we're in a big city, right? You know, we're kind of in a remote location. And I say that because, it's like the director said, there was 37 injuries. So as far as ambulance go, what kind of resources does that take up? Like, how many ambulances does that require? How many towns,
So the emergency response from the region was significant. All resources were exhausted. Multiple helicopters would arrive to the scene to transport the injured, as well as the various ambulance companies. The exact number I do not have currently with me, but it was numerous. As the director indicated, there was over 40 emergency services agencies that responded in unison to this incident. And without that response, there would have been potentially further injury.
First Tuesday of the month.
Yes, and it's the first Tuesday of the month. So, thank you, Director. Thank you.
We got our PIO here, and again, as soon as we get information, we will share the information. That's our obligation to you, and we will try to be as responsive as we possibly can. Anything else from anyone? Okay, great. Thank you all. Thank you.